Okay. This shiur is going to be dedicated in memory of my friend Noam, who's here visiting from America, and his father's third yard site, Yitzhak Meir ben Gershon. Neshama should have an aliyah.
Amen.
It's an amazing, amazing schutz to be so nervous having Noam here. You know, he listens to them, but it's not as nerve-wracking when you know they're not here.
Does he make fun of you after?
No, that's only you, Yishai. Noam's an amazing, amazing individual, and as you can see him, he's a real Ben Torah, and he works, and you should know that 10 years after yeshiva, that should be your goal, even if sometimes we have to take a detour to the University of Albany, Kadosh Baruch Hu chance our field that doesn't happen,
right.
whatever it might be, or even Label Chayal, whatever it might be, that to embody what it is to be a Ben Torah, and to make a Parnassa, as though to be in Noam's case, he really didn't have a choice, as his parents would not have heard of such a thing of learning in Kol. He wasn't as fortunate as some of his other classmates from the neighborhood who have still learning. Some of them are still learning, so, you know, whatever. Okay, what can I tell you? What can I tell you? God bless all parents. Okay. 3 years ago, I was working at YU, and they had the Chag HaSmicha coming up, similar to probably what's going on around now. And very, very busy. We're having Hachnasa Sefer Torah, the Rosh Hechter. I didn't really get that when you write a Torah, it's like the biggest ripoff. I donate a letter, but it doesn't mean I get to write a letter. I just give a lot of money for a sofer to like go like that while you write a letter. Okay, it doesn't seem like the best financial investment, but okay, you know, whatever. And like very, very intense. And I've been working now for 6 years. I probably had like a few months of my life that have been really, really intense work. And otherwise, you know, it's pretty calm. Come home. Not so much. Not so high. Not so cold. I don't need the heat. Not so much pressure. Like things are like going crazy. And I get an email. You know, but like sort of what we said yesterday, sort of what we said last week. I get an email, and Noam's father, like an email that like he passed away. Like, you know, then I don't know why I have to be the middle person. Like, you know, like everyone thinks like I'm not God. I don't know what happened. I'm not the inner ear that hears what's happening. And, like a lot of people are asking me what's going on, what happened. Like, I have no idea. I just saw your father the day before. I was driving by to my parents. I saw you literally the day before, by less than 24 hours before, passed away. And I know I did, like, really, like, you know, at that point, like, you forget everything. I no longer was so busy, even though I was really busy, had a million things to do. I went into, like, my, broken up 03 Accord, like, 100-something thousand miles, and I, like, cried, like, I never cried before. Like, really, it was so emotional. I come back to the office, tell my boss, I just have to go home, and he's like, yeah, of course, you have to go home, even though, like, you had a million things to do. And at that point, like, I figured I was staying until, like, 10, 11 o'clock that night, and I just... Whatever, you know, you just realize that was really so important. And having to also know, I knew Meir, very, very well, a very, very special individual. You know, like a lot of times during hespids or post facto, you know, like people, you know, even though the halacha said you're not really supposed to embellish, but we embellish, and whether we embellish because you want to give cover to the mate, or we just embellish because, you know, you know, you got a room of six people. Like, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, he saw the safer and he saw that it said a Yud Beis 3. You know, no one's going to really want to hear what one has to say. So maybe that's why. But everything I'm about to say is really, really not embellishing. Bless you. It's really not embellishing at all. And it was really very, very true. So we know the mission of Avos said the world stands on three things. Torah, Avodah, and Chesed. So we're going to make a little bit of a diuk on what Avodah means. And we're going to go a little bit out of order. But we're going to start with Chesed. And Meir was the community man galore. To this day, I don't think I've ever seen anyone who was that committed to a community. Young Gizel at Jamaica States, who did everything. He did everything for the shul. And now I think they have like 5-10 people who are just realizing how much he did while all trying to do his job. It wasn't his full-time job. No, he doesn't get paid. Gabayim don't get paid. That'll be nice in YU if I made a little extra money as a gabay. But we don't get paid. You know, it's totally out of the goodness of your heart, or you know, or not. But he didn't get paid to doing it. But like literally for every day, I used to have there were points in my life where on Fridays I would go learn in the Young Israel Jamaica States, and you go learn, walk around, whatever. And I would always see him like he's like playing with like you know sort of like when I play with the screen out there, like trying to get pictures on. So he's playing with it, adjusting this year and what time mincha is, and you know just doing everything like for hours. And then okay, fine, you don't think anything of it. But then 4 hours later, you know, he's putting the potato kugel away and every single thing that needs to get done in the shul so that everybody else could have menuchas nefesh. he would do. And he would come every year for Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And on Erev Yom Kippur, he'd be sending all the other Gabayim tons of emails, like, make sure that person gets revealed, because if he doesn't get revealed, like, the world would still have gone on, but it's still important to, it's important to have done it. Like, everything for the community, which is just really incredible. The topic was to be the man. Like, we want to be the man. Like, wherever, you know, Matt, if it's going to be, that, you know, for whatever reason, you know, you're going to have, everyone's going to talk to you about why you should be here next year, not Albany, but, you know, for whatever reason, you know, you're thinking, like, you know, I prefer the shorter skirts to the pants. You know, what are we going to do? And that's where you end up being. So hopefully you'll be the man there. You know, seven from Jews there. You got to be the man there. If you don't show up, you know, they're done. Like, you have to be the man. You know, we all have to be the man. It's very, very important. Even another thing, he was a gabbai, the main minion, but he was really, he ran everything. So whenever he would have yurtzeit, he would always come to Hashkama. I'm like, why would you come to Hashkama? He's like, because, you know, there's another guy who, if, you know, if he doesn't daven like Musaf today, I really don't care, like, whatever, if that guy doesn't daven Musaf, like, he's gonna, like, go crazy and, like, think that the shul is, like, out to get him and, you know, whatever he might do. So, okay, I wake up a little earlier and I go to Hashkama, and it's, like, really trying to make shalom. And it's hard as a gabbai, it's hard as a community member, making sure that every person gets an aliyah. And if they don't get, you know, they just had their niece just thought about maybe having a bas mitzvah in 7 years, so they think they should get an aliyah that day, and they don't get an aliyah, and they're like, you know, I'm leaving the shul, and I'm moving to Delaware, whatever nonsense goes through people's head. And I'm like, really, like, being a social worker for a shul of 300-400 families, it's not an easy thing. And it was really, it was really very touching. And even when, I guess when I was single, but certainly when I was married, and I had a much better in Israel. I think I just don't know people. But I had a minhag that I would, like, on Friday night and Motzei Shabbos, I thought that was okay and a nice idea to, like, stay outside and talk for a while to people. It wasn't well received by my wife, but when we went to my parents or her dad for Shabbos, and I was come home late, I thought I was talking to Mayor Mishka, I was like, oh, okay, then it was okay. But what if I'm talking to the other person, like, going over Tosos? No Tosos. Mayor Mishka, okay. That'll actually do something for your life. Tosos, then what's that going to do for you? So that was number one, being a real community man. Number two is a Ben Aliyah. Now, we're Effie's Shana Bet, the rest of your Shana Aleph, and this time in Yeshiva, this time is for everybody, it's a time of growth, whether we're doing 35 minyanim in a row and realizing that now we're going to start a new streak, or learning Subas, or whatever, quoting Meir Kahana, you know, whatever exactly it is that's doing it for us. Every person is different. Our whole objective in life is to be a Ben Aliyah. We're trying to rise ourselves. So we all, maybe you didn't realize as much when you're in high school, but you'll go back to your communities and you'll see that most people are basically, they're very, very rote. They do the same thing. Like, you know, you see it even here. Like, a guy, I told you when I get to davening, like, you know, people come at specific times. There's a guy who, he's got to come at 5:02. 5:01, no, 5:03, never. Like, he's got to come at 5:02, and that guy comes at 5:05. And these lights go on at that time. Like, everyone needs to do, everything is, like, consistent. And in a way, I guess if you're coming at 5:02, you're holding in a good place in Avodas Hashem. So that we can consider that a Ben Aliyah. But the point is still the same. And, like, the guy who has to leave, I dive in the sequence. I don't really get a person has to leave an ashrei every day. I get it if you dive in 6:30 every day, but, you know, when in the winter, when Shmon Esrei is 6:42, I get that you're in a rush. But in the summer, when it's at 5:38, I don't know, like, you're holding, it's an hour difference. But okay, whatever. Like, people like to do the same exact thing. So Yitzhak Meir was anything but that. He was really a Ben Aliyah. He was always learning. He took a lot of interest into Torah. He loved the Dvar Halachas. Sometimes you'd have, like, in the summer when, now I was like the fourth or fifth option down the depth chart. So sometimes, like, you know, they didn't really want to get to me. And, like, sometimes I really didn't want to speak. And everyone would be okay. You'll wait 7-8 minutes, you know. And it happened to not really have great cell reception. And this may have even been before, like, it's like BlackBerry time. So no one was, like, looking really at their phone during davening. But everyone would be like, yeah, we'll talk for 7-8 minutes. We'll talk about the Mets. We'll talk about the Giants. You know, whatever we have to talk about, but no, he said it's got to be a Dvar Torah, it's got to be a Dvar Halacha. We're all Ben Aliyahs. We all need to hear a little Torah, and especially, I realize more now. You know, you guys learn all day. You don't need to come here, but when you're in a place where you work all day, and it could be your only learning you're getting, then that's really understanding that. Let's say there's 30 people in the room, and you talk for 5 minutes. That's 2.5 hours of Torah that you just gave to the room instead of 2.5 hours of Met talk. You know, we're in a WhatsApp group that talks a lot of sports, so you know we know how much time that could take. But at the end of the day, 2.5 hours of a room of Torah is better than 2.5 hours of a room of you know, of sports. It's still on the Torah essence of Ben Aliyah, but with davening also, you know, a lot of people, to me, it's like a little, you see a guy, mamish can't read Hebrew, but he can say Shmon Esrei in 2 minutes. Happens to me it's impossible to say Shmon Esrei in 2 minutes. But notwithstanding that point, if you can't read Hebrew, I don't know if you can say the first paragraph in 2 minutes. But, you know, you see, like, everyone down very quickly. His father actually had, like, a 5-6 minute Shmon Esrei. Like, when the rabbi wasn't there, it actually took longer when they waited for him, because his Shmon Esrei was actually longer than the rabbi's. And it was really unbelievable. I mean, sometimes frustrating. You know, I could get a little frustrated if davening gets dragged out. But it was really unbelievable to see that. And also on Sundays, your dad would love to talk about, like, the Al-Tahayim, which shir he was in YU, like our Khan shir. He loved to talk about it. But they have YU does this Kol Yom Rishon. So they have different speakers every Sunday. Some are better than others, you know, like Sichas Musar. Some are better than others, and he would, like, take so much pride that he went, you know, he got to hear, like, always go to Rav Khan. Like, he really took a lot of, not Rav Michael Khan, but maybe in a few years we'll fly in Rav Michael Khan. He took a lot of pride in it, and being able to see that was really tremendous. And the third thing we're going to focus on was his avodah in life. So avodah usually in the Mishnah is referred to as tefillah. So Yitzchak Meir's avodah was Eretz Yisrael. He was the most Eretz Yisrael living Jew in Chutz Lars. But you could say it's probably not true. There are a lot of them, but he really, like, his neshama really was here. And his whole avodah was to be able to get back to here. And I remember just a few things that stand out to me. They came every year for Yom Kippur. It was 1 year they didn't come for Sukkot. Ali is expecting, and Tamara's born. Maybe that's a suburb though. Maybe that was, he might get off this, whatever it was. So he didn't come here, and then he was really heartbroken about it. But he would book every year right after Sukkot for the next year. I tried to find it. I guess you could do.
You can only book 11 months.
So he'd wait 11 months? On a leap year, he'd be messed over. But it was his avodah to be here for Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So he had to make sure that he got that flight as early as possible. Because, you know, this can come up. But if on November I have my flight booked for October, I'm coming back. I don't have to worry about it. There was, you know, as you guys saw this year, there's nothing like Yom Kippur and Sukkot in Israel. It's much better than America. America has a lot of good things. But Yom Kippur and Sukkot are a lot better here. And it was his avodah to be able to get back here. I remember also, I guess, 10 years ago this past Shabbos, Parshas Mishpatim, we were at a bar mitzvah together. I was actually a counselor. Made some money, too. It was nice. With Eitan. And at the Malava Malka on Moshe Shabbos, before the jacuzzi, you know the jacuzzi? I'll tell you that after. Not the jacuzzi. Before at the Malava Malka, you know, I'm eating some onion rings and a hamburger. Mayor tells me, like, where do you want to live when you're older? Like, you know, really, I wanted to, like, when I was in Israel for the year, I thought I'd live in Israel, but, you know, now I'm going to start dating, like, you know, no girls really want to come here, like, probably, maybe America. It's like, you know, I never understood that, like, when someone said, like, where do I want to live, and the answer is not Israel. Okay, some people have to live in America, but he never understood that, and then it dawned upon me, you know, he's Taka, right, and at that point I said, okay, I can't date the girls who want to live in America, you know, that's not the Mahalach, because if you do that, I'll be, you know, living out in, you know, maybe Woodmere, Pacho. Sorry to say yesterday, not within the five towns. Who knows? West Hempstead, Fairmont, who knows where we would have lived. But that really left a major roshim on me that, yeah, what does that mean? We don't want to live in Israel. That's gotta be the destination. And as much as it is, you know, you need people like that in America, but if you're avodah is to be here, and whatever we have, everyone has variable, everyone has circumstances, but to try to make sure to be here. So that was a very, 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 very special man. It was really, you know, the world is really lacking. It was actually, I don't know if I told you, it was very hard for me to go back to, and we didn't go so long. It was, like, very hard to ever be in the main shul again. Like, really just, like, to look and not see your father there was really, for me, it was very, very difficult. But, you know, we're going to all live lives, wherever we're going to live them, and whatever we're going to do. But be a gavra. Don't take the passive route in life, and try to make a mark wherever you are. And as much, and I really hope you don't go to Albany. But you should realize that if you end up going to Albany, and of 100 times you're the reason they have a minion, okay, to a degree we could say that's, you know, that's doing more than me going to YU and just being another name in YU. Maybe. And also just Just another thing is that a lot of times in life, I talked about this last week, a lot of times in life things happen and then you totally forget about it. And it's how it leaves a mark on you, but it's also how it leaves a mark on the world. And, 3 years later, and I don't go a month, it's not only for me, or somebody else just makes a comment on Mayor Mishkov. Whatever it might be, just 3 years later, like we do, maybe during Kaisman, we'll have a shmuz about the Koch of Shichacha, about how forgetting, you can't live a life if you don't forget it. Like, you're always remembering everything. Like, imagine you're always so upset. Somebody, in fourth grade, took the jelly beans from you, and you're still upset about that. You couldn't live a life like that if your whole life you were holding out anger. So, it's important to be able to forget. But every month, for 3 years, someone makes a reference, because when we do things that are important for Klal Yisrael, and when we leave a real mark on the world, and the world really is, it's why when we spoke about Kobe, tragedy it was, sure. But, the world, he's not a, whatever, the world will go on without Kobe Bryant. He didn't, besides raping, I know, Matt. As long as you don't talk about Eli Manning, you'll be okay. I can't think of Eli Manning, so that's the biggest giant fan you'll ever meet. Because he's the only guy who knew who Judge was before they hired him. Is that even his name? I'm going to make up his name. This guy's name. Who do they hire?
Judge.
Okay, I'm going to make up his name. But when you do important things, when you really are a member of society, a real gabra, you're able to be remembered, and you want that to be your legacy. And I mean, I remember the funeral. I don't think the shul had ever been that packed. Like, right away, it was every area where you could possibly fit people was in the shul, and that's what happens. It doesn't happen to every person. It happens because you leave a real you make a real difference. The whole idea, especially when you're a gabba, you're giving to everybody, and you're not doing anything for yourself. In any job, if any one of you, I have a shmooze with you and help you, I also get paid by the yeshiva. Okay, so let me tell Rabbo, stop paying me, and then I'm doing okay. Then you could say I'm a real tzaddik. But as long as the yeshiva is paying me, it's hard for me to say that it's fully lishma that I'm able to buy the potatoes and the carrots and whatever else it is that we eat, the meat that we're able to eat. It's hard to say it's totally lishma. But if I'm doing something that I'm not getting paid at all and having to deal with this person's yard site and him getting it again, this person getting this psicha, and everything that goes into running a shul. And to just giving to Klal Yisrael is very, very important. So I give you all a bracha that in everything you do, in Torah, avoda, whatever your avoda will be, and a chesed, that you make a real mark, so that when eventually life will strike game over for hopefully in 100 years for each of you. I'm a little old, so not 100 for me, but yeah, okay. I'm as youthful as you guys. People will remember you. People will remember that. Wow, that guy made such a big difference. He's a reason why this person who would have intermarried became from an Albany. Or he's a reason why you have great grandkids who are learning Torah because you decided I was going to make a mark in Torah, and that was going to be Yarag LaYavar. Torah was going to be important to me, so that my children, my great grandchildren, et cetera, for many, many generations, the legacy will be able to continue. Shkayach.